You're coming out with me tonight?
I can't afford it, thanks.
I'll pay you back. First payday after Christmas.
I'm afraid I'm withdrawing your credit facilities. You've got a customer.
Shop!
Sorry, Mr. Skinner. I was miles away.
I can't afford to let your attention wander when you work in a bank, Tom. If I was less than honest, I'd have got away with all your blotting paper and unit trust papers, wouldn't I? Now, firstly, can you cash me this modest check, please?
Of course, sir. Ones?
Yes. As many as possible. Yes, look at them down there. Oh, you know, banking has lost all its grace and charm. Once it was a glass of sherry and a slice of Madeira cake in the manager's office, and now it's all those hefty gents in crash helmets and truncheons.
Yeah, the security guards from Gregson's department store, Mr. Skinner. Are paying in the daily takings.
Does it warrant so many of them?
Oh, if you knew the amount of money involved, sir. Well, Gregson's always do a fair old trade, but at Christmas time it's fantastic. Oh, there we are, Mr. Skinner. 15 ones.
And a free elastic band. Thank you, Tom. How much money, roughly, do they pay in each day, then?
Oh, I'm not allowed to tell you that, sir.
No, of course not. I should have known better than to ask a stern-faced, tight-lipped young bank executive. About £20,000?
Oh, you'd have to treble that, sir.
£60,000? A day?
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It makes me dribble, Tom. It's over, what, £350,000 a week, almost as much as you spend on pop records.
My spending days are over until after Christmas, sir. I don't know where all the money goes.
Into Gregson's department store, by the look of it, and then into your bank. No wonder you can afford to give away free elastic bands. Now, I wonder... Yeah, I say it did look now, but there's a furtive-looking cove trying to sneak in behind your counter.
Eh?
Up there.
Where do you think he's going? Excuse me, sir, you can't get through there.
It's all right, I'm the new branch manager.
Oh, Mr. Fussell?
That's right. And you'll be Tom Green?
Yes, sir. We didn't expect you until after Christmas, Mr. Fussell.
Things move faster than I planned. Now, where will I find the acting manager?
Mr. Perry, in his office, sir. Your office. First door on the left. I'll show you.
I can find it, thanks. You'd better get back to your customer.
Yes, sir.
Who was that, Tom?
It's the heir presumptive to the managership. I'd love to see Mr. Perry's face when he learned his reign of terror's being cut short.
Do you mind knocking before coming in here? Who the hell are you?
Mr. Perry?
Yes?
I'm Fussell, the new manager.
Oh, well, I can spare you 5 minutes. Sit down.
Thank you. Sorry I didn't phone you first.
Pity you didn't, so I could have put you off. I have no time for casual visitors at the moment. You won't mind if I carry on signing these terms, will you?
This isn't a casual visit, Mr. Perry.
Oh?
I've advanced my plans. Anderson got back from convalescence last Friday, earlier than we expected.
Who's Anderson?
My replacement of my old branch. Anyway, with him back, there was nothing to keep me there any longer, so we moved into the new house yesterday, and here I am ready to take over this branch today.
Not a chance.
I beg your pardon.
If you had had any experience of actually running a bank, you'd know that there was far too much work on hand at this time of the year for me to spare time to spoon-feed someone new and teach them the ropes.
Permit me to remind you, Mr. Perry, that whether you like it or not, I am manager of this branch.
And permit me to remind you that your appointment doesn't take effect until the 1st of January. Until then, I am acting manager in full charge and extremely busy. So, if you would excuse me...
Aren't you being a little childish?
I won't query your decisions when you're in charge. Please don't query mine now. Good day.
Head office said you were difficult.
Difficult? Is that what they think of me? Do you know how long I've been at this branch, Mr. Fussell?
Over 30 years, isn't it?
36 years. This branch has had 36 years of my life. I started as junior filing clerk and worked my way up, step by step, to assistant manager. And all through my own efforts... I've got no friends at head office.
I can believe that.
I've been assistant to 5 different managers. 5 times the job has fallen vacant, and 5 times they've appointed people with half my experience. The worst of them was this last chap. He didn't know how to run a branch, and he didn't want to know. He was so bad that even head office twigged him, and 6 months ago he was asked to resign. I really thought I'd get the job this time. For 6 months I've been working like a Trojan, showing him that I could do it. Yesterday, head office let me into their little secret. They'd already given it to you. It was all decided last June.
Yes, I'm afraid it was. The move was delayed for 6 months because Anderson was taken ill. But don't despair, Mr. Perry. I'm sure your chance will come.
Well, in case it doesn't, I'm determined to enjoy my brief spell as acting manager to the full, i.e. until the 31st of December.
Very well, Mr. Perry, since you feel so strongly about it.
I'll see you January the 1st, 9 o'clock, then. Goodbye. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Perry.
That's all right. Mr. Fussell's just leaving.
Mr. Skinner of Skinner Developments would like to see the manager.
Someone else who wants to barge in without an appointment. All right, I'll see him. Might as well ruin the rest of the morning.
He said he wanted the proper manager, sir, Mr. Fussell.
Do you know him?
Skinner? I don't think so.
He comes from your part of the country. Moved down here 5 or 6 months ago. Runs a one-man business speculating in old properties. A bit shady, if you ask me. Show him in, Green.
Right, sir. This way, Mr. Skinner.
You'll want to see me, but you can hang on if you like.
Thank you.
Mr. Fussell. How kind of you to see me at such short notice.
How do you do, Mr. Skinner? Please sit down.
Thank you very much.
You know Mr. Perry, of course.
Oh, of course, the acting manager. Must be such a relief for you to have a proper manager in charge again. Huh?
I didn't know we lacked a proper manager. How can we help you, Mr. Skinner?
It's rather confidential.
Yes.
So if you wouldn't mind leaving us.
Leaving? Me? I see. Very well. Please treat my office as if it were your own, Mr. Fussell.
Staff are awfully touchy these days, aren't they?
Well, it is a very hectic time of year.
Yes, of course. Good Lord! We have met before, Mr. Fussell.
Have we? My old branch,
perhaps. No. Years ago. We were both wearing the King's uniform at the time.
The war?
You were in the Commandos, weren't you?
That's right.
And I was in the RAF. East Anglia? Rookley Airfield?
Rookley?
Yes.
Yes, I remember it vaguely. We took off from there for France once, 1944, I think.
August, 1944.
You must have a remarkable memory, Mr. Skinner.
You need it in my business. Now, why do I remember August 1944 so well? Of course, the murder.
What murder?
How fleeting is fame. We must remember the famous Rookley murder. It was a sensation at the time. It knocked sex and dried eggs into second place as a topic of conversation in the camp.
Oh, yes, I think I remember reading something about it in the papers. Now, how can the bank help you, Mr. Skinner?
You read about it. But didn't the police question you at the time?
Question me? No, why should they?
They questioned everyone who was in the camp that day.
But I wasn't in the camp that day. We'd flown to France the week before.
Do you know, I could have sworn I saw you there on the day of the murder. You had the old green beret on.
You're mistaken.
Just shows how witnesses can be mistaken, doesn't it? I could have sworn
that
I saw you.
Get down to business.
Yes, of course. Of course. Things are a bit tough in the property world at the moment, Mr. Fussell. I find I need rather a large sum of money.
I see. Have you filled in one of our loan application forms?
No.
Well, that's the first step. I wonder where Mr. Perry keeps
it. Isn't it funny the way association of ideas works? The minute I saw you, I immediately thought of murder.
Why?
Well, the victim, the chappy who was killed, you know, his father. Now, he's something big in this bank, isn't he?
Yes, Vernon Woodhead. He's on our board of directors.
That was the name, of course. Woodhead. Pilot, office, don't tell me. Rupert Woodhead. What a way to finish up. Stabbed to death in a country lane. Is he an only son?
Yes.
I bet his father took it rather badly.
Here it is.
Inquest, they said he was blind drunk when he was stabbed. Couldn't have defended himself. What sort of man would do a thing like that?
If you could just fill in this form.
Oh, thank you. No, they never caught the killer.
Well, they're not likely to after 30 years, are they?
Well, the police never close their files. Sounds like owing the bank money. They never leave you alone. Wouldn't it be rotten luck to think you've got away with it for 30 years and then suddenly... I see, what a very complicated form. There must be easier ways of getting money out of the bank.
Not honestly.
And where is the form for the other way?
Oh, I thought you would have finished by now.
Just going, Mr. Berry.
Heavy.
Oh, yes. Well, I'll be back when I've filled in your form, Mr. Fussell. Good day.
Goodbye, Mr. Skinner.
Goodbye.
What did he want?
A bank loan.
I don't trust him. He won't get one while I'm in charge. What you do when you take over is your affair, of course. Well, I mustn't keep you.
Yes, January the 1st.
9 o'clock. Oh, my regards to your wife. Have a pleasant Christmas.
Why, thank you. You must come over and see us.
Come in and take some letters, will you, Shirley?
Right away, Mr. Perry.
Was there anything else?
No, nothing else, thank you. Mary, I'm home.
I'm in the living room.
Oh, you look busy.
Oh, Peter, you're home early. I wanted to be all ready for you.
I'll help you.
Oh, you're an angel. They're calling for the empty tea chest tomorrow. The removal men broke that awful teapot your aunt gave us. Isn't that wonderful?
Where shall I put these plates?
Anywhere. Oh, in that cupboard for now.
All right.
Darling, your big day, and I forgot to ask you, how did you get on at the bank? Did you dispossess any old widow ladies? Foreclose any mortgages?
I didn't start today.
Why not?
Perry is determined to remain acting manager for his full term. I am not allowed in until January the 1st.
That's no good. You must go back tomorrow.
No.
Yes. Well, don't you see what he's doing? He's making you look a fool. You're the manager. It's your branch. You tell him what to do.
Why are you getting so worked up?
I'm sorry. It's just that I want you to make a success of this job.
Have we had any callers today?
The man from the electricity board.
Oh, good.
He said our wiring's rotten and should have been condemned years ago. But if we like, he can fix it for us in his spare time for only £50. And the electricity board would charge us hundreds and not make nearly such a good job of it. Peter, you're not listening.
Sorry. Something else happened today.
At the bank?
Yeah. A chap named Skinner called. Said he remembered me from the war. From Rookley. He kept going on about the murder.
Oh, Peter.
Said he saw me there that day.
But you told me no one saw you.
Perhaps I was wrong.
What else did he say?
Nothing much, just talked in general terms, but he went on and on about Woodhead.
Well, if he was there at the time, it's natural he'd want to talk about it.
I suppose so.
Oh, your trouble is you haven't got enough to think about. Now, what about my little man from the electricity board? I'm sure he'd make a good job of the wiring. He's got a lovely bald head.
He's got a lovely bald head. What further persuasive argument is necessary? Oh, Mary, what would I do without you?
Mm-hmm.
Expecting anyone?
Oh, it could be the electrician's brother-in-law.
His brother-in-law?
He mends television sets. Cheaper than at the shops.
There's nothing wrong with our television.
Well, I had a little accident.
An accident? Oh, well. It's barely a year old.
It's not the man to mend the TV, Peter. It's someone for you.
Mm-hmm. Good evening, Mr. Fussell.
Skinner.
I come in peace, bearing gifts. Would you accept this little housewarming present?
A bottle of sherry. Oh, why, thank you.
And some beautiful flowers for a lovely lady.
Red roses, they're my favourites.
We share the same impeccable tastes.
I'm sorry, Mary, this
Oh, it's all right, we introduced ourselves. Please sit down, Mr. Skinner.
Oh, thank you.
You'll help us drink this, I hope?
Ah, you're too kind. I hope you don't mind my barging in like this, but I was in the vicinity and I say, isn't this a charming house? A bit off the beaten track, though.
Yeah, we don't mind. How did you come? By car?
You should see it, Peter. A yellow sports model. Is it new, Mr. Skinner?
No, it's weeks old. Are you interested in cars, Mr. Fust?
Oh, he's car mad. Always taking our engine to pieces.
That, of course, is the easy part. Can he put it together again?
Oh, yes. He's a mechanical genius.
I've never paid a garage repair bill in my life. Mary?
Thank you.
Skinner?
Thank you. Well, I wish I had your skill, Mr. Fussell. Now, what shall we drink to? I know. To old comrades, alive and dead.
I find that rather morbid.
Well, then I'm instantly ready with another. May our sins never be found out. So drink up, Mr. Fussell. Why do they make sherry glasses so small?
Would you like some more?
Well, that's it. As it is a special occasion. Garden's going to take some looking after, isn't it? Are you a keen gardener?
Very keen.
Yes, I thought so. You've got the killer instinct.
What on earth do you mean by that?
All those slugs and carrot flies you gardeners have to slaughter. Now, I couldn't kill anything. You killed during the war, didn't you?
Yes.
I didn't. How old was Rupert Woodhead when he died?
What exactly have you come here for, Mr. Skinner?
There's no concealing anything from you, is there, Mrs. Fussell? As a matter of fact, there is a rather urgent little financial matter I'd like to discuss with your husband.
I prefer to keep business separate from my private life. Can we save it for the bank?
I'm afraid urgency does not allow that. I hate to show discourtesy to your charming wife, Mr. Fussell, but it would be less embarrassing if we could talk alone.
Embarrassing for whom?
For you. I'm ashamed to say that nothing embarrasses me.
I keep no secrets from my wife, Mr. Skinner.
Not even 30-year-old secrets?
No.
Does she know you murdered Rupert Woodhead?
Oh, yes, she does, Mr. Skinner.
But how wonderful. Isn't that really what marriage is all about? I'm sure that with your lovely wife standing by you, we'll soon get this annoying little matter sorted out to everyone's satisfaction. Isn't it peaceful and calm around here? Silence is such a wonderful thing. It's amazing how much people are willing to pay for silence.
So it's blackmail?
Of course. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Not the noblest of professions, perhaps, but better by far than mugging old ladies or stabbing drunken men. You know, this wine gets better the more you have of it.
Are you going to get to the point?
Of course. Now, your hobby is cars, and mine is photography. And what a rewarding hobby it's turned out to be. Now, if on that lovely August evening in 1944 you had let your attention wander from the task of stabbing poor Pilot Officer Woodhead to death, you might have noticed the glint of the setting sun on the telephoto lens of my little Leica camera. I took some lovely photographs.
Where were you?
Up on the hill. It was by pure chance that I saw you. The definition of that lens, it was... Oh, you can almost read the maker's name on the blade of the knife.
Where are these photographs?
In a very safe place.
I want them.
How fortuitous, because I want to sell them.
I'm not a rich man.
That depends on your standards, doesn't it? Now, let me see. In your deposit account, there's about 4,260, and you've got exactly £562.63 in your current account.
How on earth did you know that?
Do conjurers explain how their tricks work? Do bank managers explain how they calculate bank charges? Of course not. We all have our trade secrets.
How much?
Well, I don't want to belittle your achievement in saving all that money, but your few thousand pounds is nowhere near enough. Now, the least I could accept for my excellent photographs is £60,000.
£60,000?
I'd throw in the album free of charge.
Oh, you must be mad. I haven't got that sort of money.
No, you haven't. But your bank has.
Oh, no.
But their vast reserves. It'd be a flea bite.
You're asking me to rob my own bank?
Of course not. That will get you into trouble, and that's the last thing I wish to do. All I'm asking you to do is to help me rob your bank.
And if I refuse?
I wrap the photographs and the negatives up in Christmassy paper and send them to the police with a covering note.
If you saw me kill him, why didn't you go to the police at the time?
In 1944, they'd have hanged you. I'm a humane man. I couldn't have had that on my conscience. Besides, what would there have been in it for me? Commandos weren't paid very much.
All right, Skinner. This has gone far enough. I want the film and the photographs.
No, not the gun, Floyd. Please put it away.
I'm not bluffing. You're not ruining my life, Skinner. I'd rather kill you.
You'd rather. But you wouldn't. Oh, be sensible. What would you do with my body?
You said yourself this is a remote house with a large garden. No one knows you're here.
Now, I want those photographs.
I haven't got them on me.
Then we'll go and get them.
No.
Switch the radio on, Mary. Laura. That should drown the sound of the shot.
Oh, do put that stupid gun away. You know it isn't loaded.
You've got exactly 5 seconds to tell me where those photographs are. Don't look, Mary. 5 seconds, Skinner. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Can we have that horrible music off now?
Turn it off, Mary.
Now, don't think badly of yourself, Mr. Fussell. You did it very well, but you'd never leave a loaded gun lying loose in a drawer like that. If it were a knife, and if I were a little drunker, I'd have been worried. But as it is, it's a Luger, isn't it?
A souvenir of the war.
Like my photographs. And, by the way, in case you feel tempted again, my solicitor has a letter to be opened in the sad event of my untimely death. Standard procedure in these cases.
Well, tell him why you killed that man, Peter.
You killed him, Mr. Fussell. That is good enough for me. My curiosity extends no further.
Tell him, Peter.
They flew us from Rookley Airfield to do this job in France. It involved being dropped by parachute behind enemy lines and taking and holding a vital bridge until the Allied advance troops arrived. We held the bridge. Our troops arrived, and we were back in England within the week. Our only casualties were 16 men, killed by Pilot Officer Woodhead.
Go on.
There was a German panzer division about half a mile away from the dropping zone, so accuracy was essential. The planes had come in at minimum dropping height, and as soon as we were over the target, the pilot would flash the signal to jump. Of course, the Jerrys wound up flat like mad, but the pilots couldn't maneuver. They had to grit their teeth and fly straight through it, keeping to the fixed dropping height. Pilot Officer Woodhead didn't like flak, so he flew under it, which was safe for him and his plane, but not safe for the poor devils who had to jump.
What happened?
If you haven't got enough height, you hit the ground before your parachute opens. All 16 men were smashed to pieces as Woodhead was winging back home to safety. 16 men. Most of them good friends of mine. One of them was my brother.
No, I wish you hadn't told me that. My job is hard enough without having to stifle feelings of sympathy.
I made a special journey back to Rookley to find him. He was drunk when I killed him. And they said he was drunk in the air.
You won't let the police have those photographs now, will you, Mr. Skinner?
I'm afraid I'd have to if it was necessary. There can be no sentiment in business.
Please, Mr. Skinner. Please.
Don't beg, Mary. If the price of his silence is that I shall commit another crime, then he can go to hell. The answer's no.
Oh, dear, I always feel that somehow I've failed when I have to expose a client. Perhaps I've not made it clear that your part in the actual robbery would be very, very small. You'd neither be suspected nor found out. Your career at the bank would not suffer. You'll be able to enjoy your new house, your garden, your cars. In fact, all of us would live happily ever after.
The answer is still no.
I can't believe that that is your last word.
It is.
Oh, no.
Keep out of this, Mary.
No, I'll not keep out of this. It concerns me as well as you. Well, you may think it's fine and noble to throw away everything we've worked for because of something that happened years and years ago. I don't.
I can't rob my own bank, Mary. It's a matter of principle.
Well, it's a pity you didn't think of principles when you knifed down that drunken man.
Mary.
I'm sorry, Peter. I shouldn't have said that. What's going to happen to me when you're nobly rotting in prison?
I doubt if they'll send me to prison.
Well, even if you get off. I don't think I'm going to like being known as the Rookley murderer's wife. They kick you out of the bank. You killed his son, so Bernard wouldn't let you stay.
I'd resign anyway.
And when you made this magnificent gesture, what will we live on?
I'd get another job.
Oh, what as a car mechanic? You'd never get another job like this one.
You can just about afford the mortgage on the house now. How can we go on paying it?
We'd have to make sacrifices.
Sacrifices? No, Peter, no. I've had the hard times. If you want to throw everything away, then go ahead. I can't stop you. But you'd throw me away as well. Because I'd leave you, Peter. I'd leave you.
Oh, dear, the very last thing I wanted to do was to cause trouble between husband and wife. No, I really feel I've abused your hospitality.
You'd really leave me?
Yes.
All right, Scott. You win.
My dear Mr. Fussell, this is wonderful. You have gladdened my heart. Believe me, you've made the right decision.
Tom, where are you?
Over here checking the stationery stocks, Mr. Perry.
That should have been done yesterday.
Well, I was a bit pushed, sir.
You'll be pushed right out of a job if you don't back your ideas up. Gregson's are sending over for a new paying-in book. Let me know when they arrive.
Yes, sir. I think this job was worth having.
Talking to yourself.
Oh, hello, Cheryl. Here, you look a bit on the thin side. You could do with fattening up.
Are you offering to take me out to dinner?
No, I'm offering to sell you some luncheon vouchers. Only half price. Oh, please, Cheryl, I'm skint. Oh, good morning. Oh, Mr. Fussell. I didn't notice you there, I'm sorry.
Good morning, Tom. Is Mr. Perry in?
Yes, sir. Is he expecting you?
No, he is not expecting me. I'll go straight through.
What's he doing here?
You know what I think, Cheryl?
What?
I think Captain Queeg is about to be relieved of his command.
Come in. You!
Good morning, Mr. Perry.
Your calendar's wrong.
I'm afraid I've got bad news.
Oh?
I've decided to take over the branch as from today.
As manager?
Yes.
I can see you and I are going to get on like a house on fire. Yesterday we agreed January the 1st.
I've had second thoughts.
You always change your mind every 5 minutes because I don't. I said I'm staying as acting manager until January the 1st, and that's precisely what I intend to do. Good day.
It's all been agreed. I've been on to Mr. Mason at head office.
We'll see about that. Surely, get me Mr. Mason at head office. Yes, I'll hang on. It's urgent. Ah, Mr. Mason. Perry here. No, Perry. Newford Branch. There seems to be some confusion. Oh? On what grounds? I see. I take this as a vote of no confidence in me, Mr. Mason. But I don't see what other way I can take it. I must now consider my next course of action.
I hope you're not thinking of resigning, Mr. Perry.
Resigning at my age? You only had to wait a few days, Mr. Fussell, and you would have spared me this humiliation. Just a few days.
I really am most sorry.
I'll move my things out of your office right away.
There's no room.
I thought there was the indecent haste you're showing to get in here. Yes?
Mr. Skinner to see Mr. Fussell, sir.
Come in, Mr. Skinner.
What a glorious morning. Makes you feel good to be alive, eh, Mr. Barry?
Harry! No, it doesn't.
Is everything all right?
He took it badly.
Oh, don't worry about him. He'll have a whale of a time wallowing in self-pity.
Perhaps you can now tell me why it was necessary.
Of course. But we shall have to hurry. Now, have a look at this.
A new paying-in book.
Uh-huh.
Gregson's department store. Where did you get this?
I hope you're not suggesting that I stole it.
Did you?
Certainly not. I bought it. It's a forgery.
A forgery?
And a very good one. My printer says that compared with banknotes, it was a piece of cake. But then who'd expect anyone to forge a paying-in book? Hmm? Now, Gregson's will be sending for a new paying-in book this morning.
A new one?
Oh, yes. They'd lost the old one. Someone must have picked it up in the bank yesterday by mistake. I wonder who that could have been. Still, it will turn up. All you've got to do is to ensure that they are issued with this replacement.
Why?
You've probably noticed there's strings of unintelligible figures printed along the bottom of checks and paying in books.
That's for computerized accounting. They're specially printed so that an electronic scanner can read them and automatically transfer the account details to the computer.
And what about the name of the firm?
Well, that's only printed for the customer's convenience. The machine ignores it.
Good. Because this paying in book for Gregson's differs from the real thing in one respect only. It has my account number details printed along the bottom. Not Gregson's.
I see.
I thought you would. It means, of course, that all the money that Gregson's pays in this afternoon will be credited to my account by your splendid computer. Something in the region of £60,000, if they've had a good day. I shall be in tomorrow to draw it out in cash.
Cash?
Of course. I'm going to make a quick getaway before the mistake's found out. Bank error in your favour, collect £60,000.
Really think the bank is going to pay out all that money in cash without suspicions being aroused?
But of course it is. My dear Mr. Fussell, I've been planning this for ages, ever since I knew that you were coming here. Now take a look at my account record, and you'll see that on 6 occasions, I have deposited sums ranging from £10,000 to £30,000, and I've withdrawn them in cash a couple of days later. The money wasn't mine, of course. I borrowed it at extortionate interest rates. But it's all in a good cause. I have established a pattern. Oh, dear, the work I have put in to make things easy for you.
Give me the photographs and I'll do it.
Oh. Now, would your bank hand back its security before the loan had been repaid? Let normal business ethics apply. When I have the money, you will have the photographs.
And how do I know you'll carry out your end of the bargain?
I give you my word as a gentleman. No? All right, then. When I have the money, I'll slip you the photographs before I leave the bank. And if I don't, you can raise the alarm. And if your bank grants me this loan, Mr. Fussell, I'll work my fingers to the bone to justify your faith in me.
Yes? What is it, Tom?
I was looking for Mr. Perry, sir.
Can I help?
The cashier from Gregson's is outside, sir. He's come for the new paying in.
Oh. It's all right, Tom. No need to find Mr. Perry. I have it here.
Are you looking for me, Tom?
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Perry. Gregson's are here for their paying in book.
Hold on, I'll get it for you.
Oh, I've got it already, sir. Mr. Fussell gave it to me.
We couldn't have done. I locked it in the cabinet. I haven't handed him over the key yet.
We probably thought you'd locked it, sir, but you hadn't.
If I think I've done a thing, then I've done it. Wait a minute. Let me take a look at that book.
Anything wrong, Mr. Perry?
Yes, there is. Have I told you about carbon paper?
Isn't there any in it, sir?
No, there isn't. They're always complaining about it, so put some in before you hand it over.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I didn't give you the key to the cabinet, Mr. Fussell.
Oh, thanks. They gave me a spare at head office, but I'll take yours just in case.
Gregson's now have a fake paying in book.
Yes. The money they paid him today goes straight into Skinner's account. He's drawing it out tomorrow.
So this time tomorrow it'll be all over.
I suppose so.
When they find out what's happened, will they suspect you?
No. If I lie my head off, I'll come out unscathed. I'll say Skinner must have swapped the books in my office.
Well, that's all right then. Who's that?
That'll be Skinner. I'll let him in. In the lounge.
Well, I'm back again, Mrs. Fussell, like a return check. Has he been to do your television search yet?
No.
Oh, they're all the same, these people, you know. Unreliable. I couldn't run my business like that. And, talking of business, Mr. Fussell, how much did Gregson's pay into my account today?
£69,523. £69,523. I understand it's a record day's takings.
Good Lord, you know I am not a religious man, but it's at times like this that I begin to realize what Christmas is all about. Nearly 70,000. And it'll go higher. You mark my words.
You can draw it out tomorrow, but bring the photographs.
No.
What?
There are 3 more shopping days to Christmas, and Gregson's are having a boom. I think I'll let my money accumulate. If I wait until Christmas Eve, I should collect about what? It's £250,000.
You can't wait. It's too risky.
Nonsense.
These last few days before Christmas are absolutely chaotic. Gregson's won't have a chance to check the statement.
This isn't what we agreed. You said your price was 60,000.
Oh, I know, but I said I was looking for at least £60,000. I didn't set a maximum, did I? Oh, come now, it's only another 3 days. You'll be surprised how quickly time passes when you're enjoying yourself. So I'll be in on Christmas Eve, bright and early, with a smile, a suitcase, and a check drawn for cash.
And the photographs.
I'll tie a knot in my handkerchief. Well, now, you must excuse me. There's so much to do. Fake passport to pick up, plane ticket to collect, eggs to hard-boil for the sandwiches. No, no, no. Do sit down, Mrs. Fussell. I'll show myself out.
Change your calendar, boy. It's the 24th today.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Perry.
How often do you want telling? And I'm still waiting for that list of overdrafts for head office.
Well, I thought I'd do that after Christmas, sir.
Then you can think again. It's going off tonight. Even if you have to work overtime.
Exit Ebenezer Scrooge. Fine Christmas Eve this is going to be. Hey, you wouldn't like to stay behind tonight and help me, would you, Shell?
No, I wouldn't. You've had your Christmas present.
Yes. Yes, lovely tie. I'll get you something first payday after Christmas.
Oh, yes, like you did last year. I'm still waiting. Well, how'd you get all behind with your work, then?
I've been down in the vaults getting that money ready for Mr. Skinner.
What money?
£217,000 in hard cash. He's picking it up today. All that money. You're not the only temptation in this place, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Tom, Mr. Skinner's just phoned. Is his cash ready?
All ready, sir.
Good. He'll be here to pick it up as soon as we open. You can take him to my office. I'll be out for a few minutes.
All right, Mr. Fussell.
Mr. Perry, I'm popping out for a while.
We'll try and manage. Shirley, it's 9:30. Open the doors.
Yes, Mr. Perry.
Let the ravenous hordes in.
That'll do. What was that money you were talking about?
£217,000 for Skinner Investment, sir. He's picking it up today.
He hasn't got that sort of money.
Oh, he has, sir. I've checked.
I know you're checking. Show me the account sheets.
Yes, sir.
Three large deposits. He never came by this honestly.
Perhaps he robbed a bank, sir.
Don't be funny. Oh, there he is. Good morning, Mr. Cherry. Merry Christmas. The name is Perry, Mr. Skinner.
Mr. Fussell said we can use his office, Mr. Skinner. He's popped out for a while.
Oh, lovely. Lead the way.
Do you think these two suitcases will be enough?
Excuse me.
Yes?
I'd like to see the manager, please.
He's had to go out for a few minutes, sir. Can I help you?
Well, my name's Robson. I'm chief accountant over at Gregson's department store.
I thought I recognized you, Mr. Robson. I'm the acting assistant manager.
Yes. Now, look here, Perry. Your damn computer's up to its tricks again. We've just received our statement. We're nearly £220,000 light.
There it is, Mr. Skinner. £217,000. You'll give me the cases and I'll stack it in for you.
I'll give you a hand, shall I, Tom? I'm in rather a hurry.
Get on to our head office, Mr. Robson.
Right.
It looks as if our computer has completely missed your last three payments. Shirley, head office, please.
We never had this trouble in the old days.
In the old days, Mr. Robson, a customer was a customer, not just a number in the computer. Oh, hello, Central Accounts. Perry here. No, Perry. Newford Branch. Look, the computer has messed up one of our accounts. No, we can't wait until after Christmas. It's not just a few pence, it's only £220,000. This is more important than the office party. Get Mr. Fox to the phone at once.
Will it all go in, Tom?
Oh, I think so, sir. There we are, that's better.
Look, if you could hurry it along.
I'm sorry, Mr. Fox. It may be Christmas Eve up in head office, but it's an ordinary working day down here. The account is Gregson's department store. The computer number? Well, how should I know? Oh, just a minute. Can I borrow your paying info, Mr. Robson? The computer number is 198-7543-2-110. No, I haven't made a mistake. I'm reading it straight from the book.
There, sir. Thank you, Tom. By the way, as it's Christmas.
Oh, I couldn't, sir.
Go on. I won't tell anyone.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Skinner.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Fussell. I was afraid I'd have to leave without saying goodbye.
No fear of that. Run along and open up the boot of Mr. Skinner's car, would you, Tom? The yellow sports model at the side road.
Yes, it is unlocked. Would you like to take this case, Tom?
I'll manage the other.
Right, sir.
Well, now, there is my part of the bargain. All the evidence I've got is in that package. There is nothing else, I promise you.
Thank you.
How do you know my car was in the side road?
I noticed it when I was out.
Oh, I see. Look, in case you've got any ideas of giving the alarm before I'm well away, remember I can still tell the police about that package. Not that any such unworthy thought would have entered your head, of course. Well, goodbye, Mr. Fussell. Thanks for everything. I don't know how I would have managed it without your help.
Tell me one thing before you go.
What?
Who gave you details of my private account? It must have been someone in the bank.
You wouldn't thank me for telling you. I promise you. Well, goodbye, and a Merry Christmas.
Forgive me for not shaking hands. Mine are not very clean, I'm afraid.
Stop it, Tom! After him!
Yes, sir!
Mr. Perry, what's going on?
That money wasn't his, it was Gregson's. He filled their paying in book somehow.
Phone the police.
That was the first thing I did. Give me some credit. Any luck, Tom?
No, sir. He's got roaring off in his sports car.
You'd better let head office know, Mr. Perry, and I want to see the police as soon as they arrive.
I was getting rid of these photographs. Now, what's this? Blank pieces of card. And a letter. Dear Mr. Fussell, how can you forgive me? It was all a bluff. There are no photographs. I was never at Rookley in my life. With apologies for any inconvenience. Never at Rookley. And how on earth did you know? Mary was the only one I ever told. Shirley, get my wife on the phone, would you?
Yes, sir.
Just a minute. Come in.
So this is Detective Sergeant Betty.
Come in, Sergeant. Sit down. This is a wretched business.
Could be worse. I've got the money.
What?
I just came over the radio, sir. His car went out of control. He had a smash-up at the bottom of Birch's Hill.
Oh, no. What a terrible accident.
Well, we don't think it was an accident, sir. There's more than a suspicion of foul play. One of our chaps seems to think the car's been sabotaged.
You mean someone deliberately interfered with the brakes?
That's funny you'd mention the brakes.
Oh, I assumed.
Yes, well, it was the brakes, by all accounts. I'm on the way to look at the car now.
Who'd do a thing like that?
Oh, he wasn't short of enemies, sir. With a file that thick on him back at the station.
I suppose he's dead.
Very much so, sir. They were both killed outright.
Both?
There was a woman with him, sir. She hasn't been identified yet.
A woman?
Oh, he was a great one for the lady, sir. Could twist them round his little finger.
Excuse me. Yes?
There's no reply from your wife, sir. Shall I try later?
No. No, thank you, Shirley. There's no point. She won't be there anymore.
Hi. Well, sir, I must be off. I just thought I'd pop in with the good news to cheer up your Christmas.
Hold on, Sergeant. I think I'd better come with you. I may be able to help with the identification.
In Balance brought forward by R.D. Wingfield, Peter Fussell was played by Peter Williams and Skinner by Aubrey Woods. Percy Perry was played by Rolf Lefebvre, Mary Fussell by Gudrun Ehr, Tom Green by David Timson, Shirley by Karen Archer, Robson by Fraser Kerr, and Betley by Manning Wilson. And production was by Harry Caitlin.